have a special guest today. We have Victor Kiahu.
It's pretty close. That's pretty good, man.
How are you, Victor?
I'm wonderful. Good to be here. How are you doing, George?
I'm doing good. This is a first time for Victor, so hopefully we can have him on future episodes. Actually, maybe I haven't talked to him about this, but maybe we can have him on after Macworld to see what's the difference with between this year and last year's. So
yeah, we'll see if we can bring that together.
All right. So it's been a while since we had done the last one. We had yesterday an Apple event. We've been talking about it for such a long time now that this was going to come out. And so yesterday they released the iPad. Now, Victor, what are your views on that?
Another game changer, man. Once again, I think Apple has found a niche and they have filled it. And there was a gap, as was demonstrated in Steve's slide, something between an iPhone or an iPod Touch and a laptop. And I think this device is going to be a game changer. And I think they've brought the right device to market at the opportune time.
So those of you that don't know what went on, which most of you should, Apple released a 9-inch, I usually say 9-inch, large to me, it's like an iPod Touch, but it does so much more than an iPod Touch. And they've got a 16, a 32, and a 64 gigabyte one. You know, what I was surprised was that Apple did its own processor. It's a 1 gigahertz Apple A4 custom design processor.
But were you surprised? I mean, they bought PA Semi.
I mean, I was like, they could use someone else's, but they designed it, but they're not really, making it. They're having another company do it for them.
Yep. They designed the silicon chip part of it, which is in essence, that's the business that PA Semi was in before. And I think it's just all about having control of the device and being able to have this device perform in ways that they want. They want it engineered so that they would be able to take advantage of the memory in the fastest way possible. They wanted the integration, of course, with their touch interface, if you will. They really wanted that to work. And I think, lastly, using their own processor really makes sure that they are able to optimize the power, which is something all of us worry about, is how much battery power devices like this should have as compared to even something like a Kindle or something else, which what used to be their competitors. I think that they have now once again set the bar for the rest of the industry, which is just awesome. It's so great that Apple has built this device. That is really good. And as an Apple fanboy and someone who loves Apple products, that's great. What I'm even more excited about than that is that this means that the rest of the industry now has to play catch up. And that's going to really benefit, our PC brethren out there. Those people that can't afford even a $499 device, this is going to make those ASUS and the other manufacturers make devices that will be competitive enough for people who can't afford Apple products, are not Apple fans, to be still be able to get into the market. And it's going to be driven by this device. And that's what Apple does well. It innovates and others follow.
I mean, yeah, I'm really excited. It was funny. I had school, and unlike I have some other friends that didn't or got out of school earlier for this. But I was just sitting there, and I had a friend in school with me, and he's big Apple too, and he was sitting there with his computer. And I didn't happen to bring my computer that day to school, and I was just really amped up about this. And so I went down, and I was sitting in the media center, and I asked one of the people from the IT department. I was like, "Listen, can I borrow one of your little netbooks, just to be able to, have Gizmodo and Edgadget open up there and just refreshing the page." And, I was really hyped up. It was funny because everybody was just staring at me, because I was so happy, and I'm still hyped up about this. Now let's see. They've got, Bluetooth 802.11n, which is, something that I've been looking for. I wished it had it in, the 3GS, but it doesn't. So it's got a Bluetooth. It's got so many features. One of my favorite things is that you can, dock it in this keypad, the iPad keypad dock.
Right. Yep. That's right.
Yeah. Now what are your favorite things that you see that are going to, be in this device,
Well, I think probably the built-in knowledge that we all have about the device the moment we pick it up. We've all been very well trained in the last 2.5-3 years to use iPhones or iPod touches, so we know this interface already. We know it the first time we pick it up. We know how to use a good 80% of everything that is there. And I think that that is going to be a very attractive thing, because familiarity with a new interface like this means that we're more apt to use it and find opportunities to use it. So I'm excited about that. I'm excited what it's going to do to vertical markets, Salesforce markets, photography, this tablet, you know, medicine, education. I could just go on. And now if you take any one of those niches there, and then you think about what the tablet can mean for them as a way to interact with their clients, customers, patients, business partners, this is where this device really, I think, explodes in a way that Apple wants. They want it to be ubiquitous. They want it to just work. And then, of course, I think we're going to see a second round of explosion in the App Store when it comes to applications that are really suited specifically for this device. Not that they won't work in the iPhone, but are suited specifically for this device, and they're going to be a lot more niche. They're not going to be $1.99 applications or $9.99 applications. We'll start seeing the iPhone store tailored now to some vertical markets with some really premium applications because of the horsepower that this device has on board.
You know, one thing I think, you know, I was always thinking about is my grandfather, he's a doctor. And so, you know, it's great for this market. So I actually, you know, when I went out and got my 3GS, I gave him my 3G. And, you know, being a doctor, I think, I would have thought he would use it a lot. But since it's such a small screen, you know, I wouldn't see him doing it as much. But now, you know, think about this, you know, being a doc, you know, I'm a doctor, or I'm not a doctor, but, you know, being a doctor, I would go into the room and, you know, I would open up an application that, you know, some company has created and be able to write down all the patient's information and would send all the information over to the nurse or to whatever. And they would see, you know, what the doctor has written out. And then, you know, very simple. It would be another form of, like, you know, an electronic record, basically an application that would be able to contain all the, you know, patient's records and not having, you know, to use, like, you know, paper form or, you know, like some Windows tablet.
Exactly. And this is the kind of thing that you're going to see this device do. It has the appropriate network with Wi-Fi to be able to do that. It has the appropriate level of security with encrypted security like the iPhone 3G has already, with something like VPN. So if we're talking about off-site activity, where you have to get to an on-site secured connection, you'll be able to do that. And then this exchange of data on the fly in an office situation. You know, as a photographer, if I was a wedding photographer, you know, how wonderful to, a few minutes after I shoot the wedding, to be able to show the couple as they're getting ready for their party a quick comp of some of the pictures that were taken during the ceremony. How is that going to stimulate sales and be, you know, just-in-time marketing for that kind of a thing? So you can go on and on for the practicality of what the device does in the size. This is one case where size matters, because these are all things that the iPhone is very capable of doing, but is limited by size, processor, and some of the other things that this device brings on board, like 802.11n.
I mean, I was thinking about that. How is it going to change the photography world? You know, me thinking about getting into wedding photography, you know, I was thinking, listen, I go out and shoot the wedding, and then basically about these, now it has one of the accessories is this really cool thing that you basically, it's a 30-pin connection into the tablet, and then you've got USB or SD. Now, for those cameras, you know, that you know shooting CF cards, you know, you use the USB. But for, I mean, Victor, I think you have a D90, right?
I have a D700.
Oh, I thought you had a D90, but
I did, and I upgraded to a D700. And my wife has the D90 now.
Well, I mean, for being someone like me that has the D3000 and shooting with SD, you know, I would pop the card in there, open it up. You know, I don't know how the, you know, would work on the interface, but open it up in the thing and just be able to show the, you know, or show off, or just set it down in the one of the tables there and have, you know, the photo frame feature, which is my favorite feature. Is you click the button and then all the photos, you know, is a photo frame.
Absolutely. And that's one instance. But if, as a photographer, you now take that same model and think about it vertically from the point of sale, the first time the contact contacts you or the client contacts you, you know, you have that original meeting, you bring your iPad with you, you have examples of your work that you can show the client both in video and in photography so they can see that, they can touch it, they can, you know, exactly see what that happens. From there, you take on to a preliminary contract. Yes, I want to hire you. No problem. You're able to bring up now an application where you can gather information about that client. You can take that information back. You can set your appointments. You know, now we have, you know, just take that whole business model right down the life cycle or the sales cycle of a wedding all the way to post shoot, you know, come back, show the comps. The client can, you know, by using a star system, pick the pictures that they want pictures of. I could go on. But this is the example that this having this device available and having it look this good from a quality perspective is going to make the sales force, let's call it that, it's going to revolutionize the ability to have this stuff right there. Yes, all of that can be done with a laptop and it can be done very well. But this is something that you can hand to someone, they can touch, and it becomes part of their ecosystem.
Yeah. Now, someone might be thinking about what, you know, what the price is. So there's going to be three different, you know, storage versions. And then there's, you know, there's a Wi-Fi one and there's also a Wi-Fi and 3G one. Talk about that in a little bit. There's the Wi-Fi one, the 16 gigabytes, $499, the 32 is $599, and the 64 is $699. Now for the Wi-Fi 3G version, it's just $130 more. Now, this is coming out in 60 days. Now, Victor, I'm curious. Do you have like enough music that you think you'll put on the 16, you know, or what version do you think you're going to get of the gigabytes?
I'm going to get the 64 gigabyte with both the Wi-Fi and the 3G because I want flexibility and options. And to me, the price difference isn't that great. I do believe that I think we'll see the Wi-Fi version, but I think we may see the 3G version sooner than 90 days. I think Steve said, you know, FCC approval. So all of that stuff is happening. Apple wants to get this thing to market. They don't want to just make us wait because they can. So I think that I think they'll hit their target of getting the non-3GS or 3G version out there. But I think then as closely as they can, they will follow with a 3G, 3GS version of it. So if you're on the fence about that and you think, I can't wait another 30 days, my advice is go ahead and wait because you may not have to wait 90 days. You may have to wait 70 instead of 60 or something. I don't know.
So that's the thing. One thing that was holding me back. And I was like, you know, am I really going to want to wait another 30 days just to get 3G? And am I really going to want to pay, you know, however much it is a month? I mean,
but at least you have choice. Like right now I have a Mi Fi. So tomato. So whatever way I want to go, you know, I can choose to use it with a MiFi or not. But if I don't buy the model that has 3GS, we already know we're not going to get things like some of the geolocation type stuff, GPS type stuff. That's only going to be available with a, you know, the model that has a 3GS. And then I can either choose or not choose to opt in and get that service from the provider or not. But this gives me all my choices. If I buy the Wi-Fi model only, and if I don't even have a MiFi, then I'm really kind of only going to use the device where there's MiFi. So I just want as much flexibility as possible because the way that they've set up this arrangement, it's up to me. I don't have to. It's not tied to a contract. It's not tied to anything. So why not get the top of the line of what you can get, and then you make the choice as a consumer?
Yeah. What is your take on, have you been hearing about people, you know, just say like, I mean, I always take my laptop wherever I go. Now, do you think you'll be able to not take your laptop everywhere you go and just take your iPad with you?
Yes, absolutely. This now makes my laptop something that is my in-between, you know, something that I need to do some heavier lifting, you know, I need to do some heavier photo editing. So it is the right in-between device. I think this is going to limit the amount of places that I take my laptop. You know, I don't have to carry my laptop now to Starbucks on the street when I want to have a cup of coffee and a cigar, but still be able to, you know, to do some cool things on a device. This device will do that for me.
Now, let's name a couple of the accessories here. You know, one thing I really like about this, it does play the YouTube videos and, you know, the HD YouTube videos that are out there. But one thing I like about this is that it's going to allow me to connect the iPad dock connector to a VGA, which is a $30 accessory. And now, usually, and at our school, we play, we have a morning start kind of thing where basically everybody gathers in the gym and we play videos and stuff like that. Now, I'll be able to take this, and if the teacher says, hey, George, I want to play this YouTube video, here's, you know, the link, and he emails it to me, I'll be able to pull this up on my iPad. I'll be able to connect it to the projector, and I'll be able to play it just from this device. It makes me just incredible that I don't have to bring my computer, or we don't have to use the computer from the school, or my friend doesn't even have to bring his computer because we have the iPad.
Yep, we live in the future, man.
And one thing I didn't notice before is that we can use a Bluetooth if we have a Apple Wi-Fi, a Bluetooth keyboard, we can connect it with the iPad. So they do sell an iPod keyboard dock for $69, and mm-hmm. then they have the iPad. It's kind of hard to say, you know, iPod, iPad. I get that confused sometimes.
It is hard to say. You're right.
The iPad camera connection kit is going to be $30 as well, just like the VGA adapter. And then they're going to have a regular dock, which I think I'm going to might go with the regular dock because I have a Bluetooth keyboard already. And I don't think I'm going to be, you know, typing as much. I mean, I might in the future, so I might make that investment in the future. That's going to be the regular dock is going to be $30. And then they have a really nice, you know, little folio case. Made of plastic and microfiber, it's $39. And that kind of reminds me, if you look at, you know, this thing with the, it reminds me of the Kindle a little bit because the Kindle comes with a case.
Uh-huh. That's right.
Yeah. Now, do you have a Kindle or do you know anything, you know, what's the battery life on a Kindle?
I had a Kindle too, and I just wasn't using it enough. So I sold it. And the battery life was fantastic because it's e-paper. It's a completely different technology. You know, you don't have a backlight screen. So this thing, the Kindle would last weeks and weeks and weeks. You know, I can't give you hours, but I never had to worry about it. This is a different ball game. You know, from a technology perspective, these things share very little when it comes to the downright technology.
Now, what's really my question is, being a, you know, having a Kindle and having, you know, looking at this, do you think this will be a Kindle killer?
Yes, I think it will be. I think it will be, if not the Kindle killer, it will be the father or the thing that makes a lot of other developers and a lot of other manufacturers make similar devices that will mean Kindle will have to step up. So will it kill it? I don't know. I think it, well, actually I do. I think it will kill it unless Amazon can come back at a much, much more competitive price and give not like functionality, because that's not the business Amazon's in, but they can give like reader functionality, but now at maybe 50% of the cost. They can give a killer $149 color e-reader, they'll probably still be able to hang in there. If they can't, they're in trouble.
Now, do you think that there's 10 hours of battery life in this iPad? Do you think that is that with Wi-Fi on and you know running an application or so? I mean, or do you think it's just, you know, locked down, like, you know, say with like a MacBook, like I can't, you know, on my MacBook Pro, it says 7 hours, but I have to have the brightness all the way down, you know, very essential, you know, not running any hard apps, you know, and stuff like that.
Yep. You answered your own question. It's 10 hours at whatever spec Apple tested it at that we don't know. So whatever they say, I always take away a third. So if they say 10 hours, I'm going to say it's going to be between 6 and 7 hours.
All right. And Griffin has already actually put up on their website that they have a couple cases already out that they're going to be designing. Now, one thing for the applications, they said that you're going to be able to run, you know, any application. Now, do you think they're going to have certain applications out there in the App Store that are just going to be able to run on the iPad?
Yes, I think some developers will decide that they want to just develop for this particular niche. I don't think that would be very smart, but I think that some will. I think specifically in those very specialized applications that it may be more appropriate.
Now, did you see all the stuff that Jason Calacanis posted on his Twitter about this?
I don't really follow Jason Calacanis, so I know of him, but I don't know what he says. So sorry about that.
Well, I mean, he just got everybody really hyped up, and he was saying that he had version two, and it was really interesting. And I mean, he really got me hyped up, and then you know the thing, but I really didn't, you know, believe him afterwards because he.
Isn't Jason Calacanis the guy who was putting down Apple pretty hard about a month ago?
I think so. I think that was him.
Well, he's also a poker player, right?
I don't know that much about him. So
there you go. I mean, poker player, you know. So you know, sounds like somebody who is really good at getting attention.
All right, so this is pretty much it for the iPad. I mean, you know, it's got a nine inch screen. I'm telling you, I don't have one thing. I have a 32 GB iPod or iPhone 3GS. I mean, I don't really, you know, I only have 14 GB on this. I mean, that's why I'm kind of thinking that I'm not going to need, you know, a 32 or a 64 GB. So I'm debating with the 3G or the Wi-Fi, but you know, after this, you know, might have turned me over to the 3G.
Well, so. On the other hand, I mean, your market, my market are different. I, you know, you're a younger guy. This is the first generation of a product. You know, your budget may not be the same as mine. It may be a very smart move for you to buy, you know, the 32 gig with radio version. That might be the sweet spot because you're going to be also the guy who definitely buys version 2. I am too, but you know, I'm 50 years old versus I'm an IT professional, so my budget is different. That's all.
Yeah. So, thank you very much for Victor Cajajo being on the show. Victor, where can we find you?
I have two shows, a Typical Mac User podcast at www.typicalmacuser.com. And if you're into photography, I do a photography called typicalshutterbug.com.
All right. Thanks, Victor.
Thanks for having me on, George.